You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Take a seat right over there, sat on the stairs, say or leave. The cabinets are bare and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive, I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer, why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come?
If I'm on American Bandstand, I rate this song high. It's got a beat. Cause I can dance.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
Gonna could dance. You don't get to be the gunner without being able to get out there and get it done on the dance floor.
Yeah, in the morning.
All right.
No, no. Don't do that. I told you.
What?
I'm not joking when I say don't drink.
You don't do what?
I'm not joking when I say
don't sing. Oh, I didn't sing it.
Yeah, that's not a joke. I'm not saying that to be like comedic. It's not a comedic thing. It's that's the truth.
You're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be happy. It's opening day of baseball season.
If some of your family was listening, they'd be going, Gunner.
They're haters, man. They're haters. You want to know why? Because they wish they were singing. They're like, man, Michael can sing. I didn't really know that. But whenever you do it, people are like, oh, you suck. Oh, really?
But you think deep down they're harboring this.
Yeah.
Man, he's got some talent.
That's exactly. You know that's what it is. They're haters.
Oh, they're haters.
So why are you in such a bad mood? And why are you putting foil on your brisket after you burned it?
Well, first of all, I don't put foil on brisket.
Why are you burning your brisket? Why is that thing so black?
That's actually a smoke ring. It's not burnt, bud. I think I told you.
Okay,
I don't know what you guys eat. You gotta stop eating frickin' Arby's and making. I mean, that's the problem with some of our friends. You know, like our Southern California friends. Boy, I love brisket, especially the stuff that Arby's puts out on that sandwich.
Ooh. No, let me just tell you, you're talking about guys that all would tell you, of our friends, I'm like the least foodie. Everybody else is a bigger foodie than me. Mike's up there. Montana Man's kind of a foodie. Rudy's a foodie. Yes?
Wait. Montana Man is a foodie?
He would tell you he's a foodie. Rudy's a foodie. Luke's a foodie?
Definition? No, no. Luke is just a, he eats food. That doesn't make you a foodie. Luke loves food. Large amounts of food. That doesn't make you a foodie. Rudy, I'd give you the fact that, yeah, he's a foodie.
Rudy's a foodie?
Rob? Montana Man? Rob? A foodie? The man who says, you should have put the brisket in foil.
Yeah, he was pretty critical. What? He was pretty hard. Okay, so just if you're just tuning in, Mike sends me a picture of this brisket he talked about that he was going to smoke this week. So I text back, why'd you burn it? He's like, it's not burned. I said, well, it looks burned to me. He says, no, it's not burned. Said,
no, it's the rub. That was the rub and the smoke.
It's the rub and the smoke. I'm like, yeah, bro, I know char when I see it. You char that thing.
Oh, my God.
Right? So not content with that little turn of the screwdriver in Mike. This morning, I'm in the shower, and it comes to me, like, I can get more out of the picture. All I have to do is take it from the text that Mike sent me and put it in he sent it to me individually and put it in the window with all the rubes in it. And then I'll say that I burned it, which else, then they'll all shit on me for it. And then Mike'll see it. That'll piss Mike off and it'll start.
No, it doesn't piss me off.
That'll
makes me laugh because again, yeah, you said the key word, the rubes.
So bigger than shit, right? I put it in there, and right on cue, here come the rubes. Montana Man weighs in first.
First one. Oh, it's well done. If that's well done, then I don't know what the hell. You're eating the damn meat right off the bone, like right off the cow.
Right, and then what's the next comment? Better under, never over, blah, 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 blah.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. So then F-18 guy, he bombs in with that little piece of wisdom. And so now I'm thinking to myself, is that it? These morons can do way better than that. So let me defend myself. And so
again, I
bomb in there. Everybody needs to settle the fuck down. It's not that burned. And then from Montana Man. Now, and I'm just thinking, where the hell's the gunner, man? He's got to be. I know that he's not asleep.
I don't get suckered into that, man.
I don't see.
I know what you're doing. I see it. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. Watch. And then sure enough, here comes the thing. Oh, and I know Mac is on the other side going, what he just said. How come the gunner's not chiming in? Oh, the gunner needs. Because the gunner's not stupid. That's why.
Yes, you are. You're as stupid as anybody out there. So then it's like, I don't see any pink left in it. That's pretty burned. And then Montana Man says he didn't foil the brisket after hearing me talking about it on the air. So explain when do you foil? So to me, do you sear the brisket and then slow cook it? What's the?
No.
You don't sear it.
I trim the fat.
Okay.
I let it sit to get to about room temperature.
Got it before.
And then I tried a new rub. It's this apple wood. It's like a dark mesquite rub. So then I just bathe it in this stuff and let it sit. No oils, no nothing. Just, you know, let it sit into the meat and then let it sit some more until like, if you know, you put rub on a meat and it, the rub is no longer visible, but the meat darkens by the color of the rub.
Oh, I don't use rubs.
See, I do. This one's called, Smoky Applewood. I just tried it.
What'd you think? Good or bad?
It's actually pretty good.
Okay, let me ask you this: you would use a rub instead of marinating it? Or
something. Yeah. I just don't marinate anything like that.
You don't marinate?
The ingredients in this are just, you know, like your cumin, chili powder, salt, sugar, paprika, onion. I don't know how they get natural applewood smoked flavor in a powder, but they did it. It's kind of, I don't know what the... It's not apple-y, but it's called, it's like a smoky, like a chipotle.
Okay.
It's spicy.
I'm with you.
So I put a ton of that. I just bathed it in that, man. Let it sit again until it absorbs in the meat so that powder look is gone. Cause it'll penetrate into the muscle. You know, and then I had it on the smoker. I always use grilled charcoal.
Yeah. Oh.
My charcoal looks like black. It looks like black, like tree bark. Or it looks like, there's like actually a little small piece of a tree, like a branch. It was black. It was just charcoal.
And that's charcoal that you use?
Yeah, I use the real stuff. I like
interesting, because a lot of people that do what you do, man, they go the propane route.
Yeah, this is called mesquite lump charcoal. 100% all natural. And it literally, if you take a piece out, it looks like black wood.
Black wood.
Yeah. It's cool. The problem with it is when you touch it, your hands are all black.
It's an occupational hazard.
I don't use lighter fluid. I use the little, starter blocks. You know, you put it in there. Cause I don't like that lighter fluid smell, that taste.
Right.
I know it burns off. And then I let that get to heat. I close the smoker side. You saw my grill.
Right.
The smoker's on the left of the smoker. So I let that get to heat. And then I play the adjusting game with the dampener.
Right.
So I got the little smoke dampener and all the other stuff. Because I want it to stay about 240, 250 degrees inside the main chamber.
Got it.
And then I used these... Applewood smoke chips. So you soak those in water. So I poured a whole bag in a big, huge bowl, pour water in them, let them sit for about 30 minutes until they come real soggy. And then I have a metal pan that I put the smoked chips in, and then that goes into the fire. So they singe, you know, they put out smoke. So once I get everything smoking, then the brisket went on the smoker. And it stayed there. I think I started it. I was smoking when I was talking to you, right? Yeah, I sent the picture.
Yeah, but you didn't send the picture till later.
No, I sent you a picture of what it looked like on the grill.
Well, I'll give you a time hack on the picture. On the grill,
and there was a lot of smoke.
You set the picture on the grill at 10:48.
Okay, so yeah, about 10, and then it was done just before 5, or just at 5.
Okay, so let me ask you this: how do you
rest for about 30 minutes?
Okay, hold on. Do you use a digital thermometer, or you? This is the old-fashioned way. You're doing it, making sure you have a certain thickness of beef, of brisket, and then doing it by time. And with those two things, you know that it's going to be on the rare side. Yes, or do you use a digital meat thermometer?
I do it kind of both ways. If you stick your left hand out.
Okay, so
you doing that?
Yep.
With your right index finger, that pad just below your
Wait
thumb.
A minute. Stick my left hand out, and then you said with my right index finger.
Right. Poke your left hand. Pad. So you touch the center of your palm.
Oh, okay.
Feel soft it is?
Yeah.
That's your rare, medium rare. If you go down to the right of that,
okay,
where you, that's kind of your medium.
Okay.
And then if you go to the left,
okay,
where your thumb is,
yep,
that's your more well done, your well.
Okay.
Feel all the differences?
Yep.
So I use that as my template, and then I use a little thermometer towards the end, because I don't like to pierce the meat, because right, then you start losing juices.
Okay.
So right when I feel like, okay, it's thin, because, you know, the meat's going to cook longer, I pierced it, and once it hit, I pulled it out at 155.
155 was the time or the temperature?
No, 100, the temperature of the center.
Wow, that's pretty low as meat temperatures go.
No, 160. So I mean, it's still going to cook when you bring it off. It's going to hit that 160 mark as soon as you come it off.
Okay. All right. No, I mean, okay. So I like that you use technology.
And then the only foil I use. Is at the very end, when I'm done, I put foil over the top of it. Is it rush? So I just put it over. And the only reason I put foil over is that I didn't put saran wrap over it because I don't like that contact with plastic with the meat. It's a big piece of meat, though, man.
So the first thing, you reject the notion that you burned the brisket.
Yeah, it's not burned.
Okay. All right. So I'll accept that. Okay, I'll accept that. Even though I have, you know, I'd have to taste it.
Most.
I'd have to taste it to give you a final conclusion. I'll accept it.
All
because
right,
I'll
send you a piece in the mail.
So what is Montana Man getting at in that if you burned it, then you put it on a piece of foil so it doesn't overcook anymore? Like, where, I don't understand where the foil comes in.
I don't understand either. I don't understand where he's talking about foil. Oh, my God, it's so good. Dude. It's good right now. Yeah. Even Buck said, foil's for steak, not brisket. You can turn brisket into steak. Easy.
So you think that Montana Man is not at the level, is not at your level in terms of being a foodie. He's not a foodie. Like, you and Rudy.
Okay, look at that picture. This is the. I just sent you a picture.
Okay, hold on.
I'm eating right now.
What?
You tell me that's burnt.
Hold on. I have to join. I don't know. How do I join these phone calls?
Yeah, that's char. That's char. And you guys need some classes.
Okay, hold on. Hey, Montana Man.
Yeah.
Call on my other phone, okay? Call on my personal phone number. The 949 number.
All right, I'll try and find it.
All right, calling that. Okay, Montana Man wants to join us, just so you know.
Oh, no, I don't want to talk about food anymore.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about this. We'll talk about something else.
For the next 30 minutes.
We'll talk about something else. What do you want to talk about?
I was going to talk to you about the news.
Oh, what's in the news you want to talk about? Normally, you don't like to talk about the news because it makes you sad. Or angry.
No.
Or angry.
No. I want to talk about this whole Second Amendment thing.
Oh, okay. Hey, Rob, Mike doesn't want to talk about his brisket anymore.
Food. I don't want to talk about food.
He doesn't want to talk about food.
Let's talk about Second Amendment stuff.
Oh, hold on. Okay, well, we can talk about Second Amendment. He'll talk about Second Amendment. But I think that you got into him a fair amount. So, I mean, we should at least let him defend himself.
No, I was defending.
Oh, you were defending your own honor?
I was defending what you had set up. You'd set up the fact
what?
That you took the picture, trying to get the riots out, and it didn't work. Rob is just a victim.
Oh, he's like Bill.
He's victimized by you.
He's like Bill Clinton.
He's victimized by you.
I'm not. So you're telling me that my ruse worked and Rob's the rube in the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, you always get these guys spun up. That's why I never respond when I see this stuff. I'm looking at it because my phone's dinging 45 times within an hour at night. Of course, how the hell am I not supposed to? You know, my wife is looking at me like, what's that sound? Oh, that's Mike, Rob, Luke, and Rudy talking. How do you know? And it's like, ding, 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 ding. I said, no, that's them. It's 45 minutes, and it hasn't even been 20 minutes. 45 times. And it says either A, this is what they're doing. I tell them Tina this all the time. It said A, they're talking about baseball, or B, Mac is saying something that's trying to get me to get on there where I get spun up or, you know, and then cause a big thing. Because I said Mac is the spark, you know, the magnesium, when you rub your knife against that, you know, onto magnesium and it starts that bright yellow flash. That's what Mac is. Mac is magnesium.
I will admit that I do enjoy watching a good fire. I've always been a bit of a pyromaniac since I was a kid, but I love to see, it only works when you have people that will collide. And so, you know, Montana Man, we don't really understand, like, what's the foil for?
Yeah, the foil is, depending on how much smoke flavor you want pushed into that meat, you can regulate it by putting foil on it while it's smoking. So I don't like my brisket overpowered with a smoke flavor. So at some point when it's in there, because it's still got to cook all the way through, you wrap it in foil so it doesn't get as hard a smoke flavor.
Hmm.
That's where that comes from. And it'll reduce the thickness of your char as well.
Let's quickly talk about this because I want to talk about the Second Amendment stuff. I could see that. The problem with this, though, this was almost a freaking 20-pound brisket. So it was.
Yeah, you got the whole thing on there plus the head, probably.
It was probably, at its thickest point, it was close to about 3.5-4 inches thick. So,
yeah,
it's a big hunk of
meat. That's huge.
Yeah, but they had them on sale, man, at HEB or at Kroger, so.
What's ATB?
HEB is the grocery store down here.
Herbert E. Butts is the guy's name who owns that chain.
Oh, do you know him?
I don't, but I've been to Texas enough to know of it.
All right.
Shop there plenty.
Okay, now, Montana Man, do you consider yourself a foodie? Because Mike doesn't consider you as high an echelon foodie as he and Rudy. Where do you shake out in the foodie spectrum?
Well, we've been cooking, I was cooking in restaurants starting when I was 17. I was cooking, and then that's how I put myself through college. And I ended up as a sous chef at a 4-star restaurant.
Okay, that's the end of that discussion.
It doesn't count, though. No, when you first started out, Chili's,
or TGIF Fridays did not count.
No, so, I mean, look at the places that I've cooked. Go ahead and, oh, shit. The Common Man in Sugar Bush, Vermont. Go ahead and Google that and look at that name.
Okay, hold on. I will. The Common Man.
If it's Common Man Restaurant, Sugar Bush, Vermont.
Oh, Common Man Restaurant. It's a group now.
The group?
Yeah, the Common Man Family Restaurant in New Hampshire.
No, this is in Sugarbush, Vermont.
Well, I'm sure it's the same place.
The barn, the restaurant.
Oh, Sugarbush, Vermont. Here you go. Okay, let me look at the. Okay, here's the menu. Menus: cocktail, beer, dinner. Macaroni and cheese, tuna fish sandwich, peanut butter and jelly.
This one, they have a BLT on there?
BLT, yeah, it's right at the bottom, BLT. Underneath, right over BLT, is our specialty, BLT. Okay, here you go. Butternut squash soup, shiitake mushroom salad, wintergreen salad, Maine. Let's see, I can't even pronounce that, pork ramen, ricotta tortellini, halibut, roast chicken. You cooked here? Or you bust there?
Nope, cooked there. Junior and senior year.
Of high school or
in college?
In college.
College.
I thought you went to the military academy. Did you get booted out?
Nope, I made the trip.
You're on probation.
5 days a week over the hill to Sugarbush from Northfield.
Well, how could you be in the military academy and have a job? I thought they were like, hip, 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 hip. You and Fallon acting crazy, screaming at each other?
Junior and senior year, you're trying to get a little bit of space. I'd schedule all my classes in the morning, and then I'd be at the restaurant early afternoon most days, and then all weekend.
All right. So, Mike, you wouldn't have to give it up. That's like a legitimate foodie. He has credentials.
Okay.
I mean, you've cooked and you've eaten, but you've never been like a commercial part of a business, that kind of a restaurant. So would you grudgingly give it up that he's got credentials?
No, I just said, yeah, okay.
Hey, no need to get pissy. Okay. I can feel the tension. I can feel the tension right now. That's all I'm saying.
I did love the comment.
Don't start being a wife.
He just likes to eat.
Don't need a wife.
Don't be the wife
right now. Yeah, don't be the wife on the radio. Because that's what the wife does. Don't get upset with me. I'm not getting upset. Don't raise your voice. I'm not raising my voice. I've been talking like this the whole time. You're getting upset. Look at you. Okay, I'm just shutting up. Why you gotta be this way? What the fuck is going on?
That's exactly what he's doing.
I know, because he's dry. He does this. This is his profession.
No, but when you said he's not a foodie, and then he rolls out some four-star restaurant, anyway, okay.
And I said, yeah. You said, give it up. I said, yeah.
Okay.
Didn't know that. See, now we're finding out more about him after he gets out.
Yeah, no shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
so that makes you like a legitimate, like, food human being.
You would think.
Now, again, don't put Luke in that category. Luke just eats food.
That's so accurate. He eats gravy out of a freaking tub. That doesn't make him a foodie.
Yeah.
That just makes him...
He'll drink... Yeah, a guy who drinks sausage gravy out of a milkshake container.
From Cracker Barrel. From Cracker Barrel. Yeah, that's no shit, too. He said, you know how...
Hey, what shake is that? What are you drinking? You got a strawberry shake?
No.
Sausage,
no, no,
gravy,
let me tell you,
sausage.
It was specific. It was chicken fried steak gravy.
Yeah, chicken fried
steak gravy.
Yeah, sausage gravy. Yeah.
But you can put that over, you can put it over a live dog and he'd take a bite out of it.
He would, yeah, your dog would be half consumed before you got the, hey, yo, Luke, that's my dog. I'm like, oh, I wonder what the thing caught my teeth. Well, that's his tail, damn
what
it.
That fur came from.
That's his tail.
Yeah, that's his collar. Okay. Hey, did you guys watch the news?
Hold on, I don't know. I've got an email.
Oh, no.
Mac, here's a question. The president obviously dated a porn star. Would either of you or your...
He didn't date one. He had sex with one in a hotel.
That he denies. Would either you or your guest ever go out with a porn star? I would not. My mom would be...
No.
My mom would be disappointed. Montana man, you're a military school kid. You probably would.
Yeah. Back in those days, probably, yeah, but now, no.
No?
No.
Okay, there you have it.
Back in my youth, the closest I came was I dated a stripper.
Really?
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know if she did it.
Oh.
And then when I broke up with her, then I found out. Oh, my God.
She was...
Let me tell you.
Was she working out on the inside?
No, she actually worked in San Diego.
Pacers.
But yeah, those were the dark, man. That's where you go to my car with a mirror to look for bombs underneath. I ain't kidding,
yeah,
dude.
She probably wasn't the
You'd
same.
Be like,
yeah.
There's, yeah. All right. We'll leave that. Yeah, you know, how do you get away from the crazies? Did you
change your name, dye your hair, and move out of state?
Because they're like, they have bloodhound in them, man. They will come looking for you. They'll find you. They'll find your car.
Yeah, when I was young, I was going by the name of Mark Simmet. So if there's a Mark Simmet out there, I apologize if you're getting all this hate mail or whatever. I don't know how I came up with the name, but that's who I was for a long time.
Sorry.
I'm dating crazy.
Sorry about that. No, that's a pretty shrewd move, though. If you do date crazy, yeah, and they make, what was the scene? What was the movie where she boils a bunny? It's that genre.
9.5 weeks, right?
No.
No. No, you're talking about the Meryl Streep one.
Yeah. What is it? What movie is that? Where she boils a bunny? Oh, yeah.
Fatal Attraction.
There you go. Boom.
Yeah. If you tie into that, that's, woo.
That's
right.
You're going to
get a bunny
boiled
on your stuff.
What's that smell? Oh, it's Hopalong.
Fat Jack in the stew pot.
He's dead on the stove. That ain't right. What was the name again, Mike?
Mark Simmet.
I got to write it down.
Mark Simmons. I will tell you one of the funny things.
Simmet.
Spell it. Simmet.
Yeah.
Marks, aka Mark Simmet. That's hilarious. I'll tell you one thing.
And you know how I came up with that name?
No.
It's so funny. I was at a garage sale or something, and there was like a jersey, and so I bought it. You know, just to like wear around because it, you know, I needed something to wear around to do odd jobs and stuff. And the last name on the jersey was Simmet. So that was my alter ego, Mark Simmet.
What the hell?
That's what you'd wear to the strip club?
Yeah, that was my go-to. I had my name on a jersey, last name Simmet. Why would I came up with a different name?
That's too funny. You know, one of the things back in the day, you could be anywhere in the world and say, hey, everybody pull out your Pacer card in the Marine Corps. And you'd have 50% of the Marines would pull out their pink Pacer card. I got mine. You could be like in the middle of the desert in I don't care where, pick a desert. Everybody, have the people pull out their Pacer card. Right outside the gates of MCRD back in the day.
Well, back in the day, remember you used to sign your name in Chow Hall?
Oh, yeah.
I used to sign as all the KISS things, like Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley, Peter Criss. I'd sign different names, but I was always using KISS. Bam.
Did you take anything seriously, Mike?
No. Why?
Why? Yeah. It takes all the fun out of it. All right. What are we talking about relative to the Second Amendment today? Out of my cold, dead hand.
Yeah. Last night they had this big thing with the former Supreme Court justice had written that article about appeal the Second Amendment. You know, that was the way to solve the problem. And all these young people are jumping on board with that.
Well, let them. It'll take up their time, give them something to do. 10 years later, they can look around and say, that was a waste of time.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
You know what's interesting, though, speaking of amendments, is, you know, because repealing amendments, come on, it's two-thirds of the House and two-thirds of the Senate, and then 38 of the states. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you where that's going, and that is nowhere. But it was the same process, and we adopted prohibition like that.
Well, some of the amendments didn't pass like that.
Prohibition did, though. That's amazing. Think about that. That got passed in the 20th century in the United States, prohibition. We're going to prohibit drinking. Think about that. That's crazy. And if you read the history of it, it's amazing. I mean, think about that. No more drinking in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what spurred that. Exactly. What spurred that? And it was the abuse of alcohol. This narrative at the time that was, I guess it had to be somewhat real for that many people to act on it, of drunken, disorderly behavior. America was a much more religious place, so you had.
I would think the religion piece played a larger role.
Yeah. A huge role.
Yeah. Otis the drunk in Mayberry.
He is a nice guy, though. Yeah. Otis. And they didn't lock the door on Otis. They left it open. Right? I mean, did Andy never locked the door on Otis, did he? Otis is sleeping in the cage.
No. Was there prohibition in, when was it repealed?
33.
Was it
33? It's an interesting little
round that long.
No, it wasn't. Are you kidding? A dry country? That's
crazy.
Was
it like a decade?
Yeah, between 1920 and 1933.
Yeah, 1933.
Well, there's still dry counties out there.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, Texas.
Yeah, there's still dry counties out there in Texas.
What do you mean? Well, you can't drink on Sunday or can't drink at all?
They don't sell it.
Well, you can't buy alcohol.
Yeah, Jack Daniel's Distillery is made in a dry county.
That's awesome. No, yeah, I remember the first time I'd ever, growing up in California, we didn't really have laws like that. We were in Ohio. My dad was managing the Reds, and we went out to dinner on a Sunday to this restaurant. And we sit down, and the waitress comes up and says, "Can I take your order?" And my dad says, "I'll have a scotch and water, and my wife will have a martini, dry." And she says, "Sir, the bar's not open. This county's dry on Sunday." Oh, my God. You talk about ruining dinner. Holy shit, man. Couldn't have his doers and water. Oh, man, that did not. So hey, Dad, do you want a Shirley Temple?
Prohibition was enacted in 1920 as the noble experiment. It was undertaken to reduce crime, corruption, and solve social problems.
Yeah. Alcoholism,
so when they did
alcoholism, it, family violence, and saloon-based political corruption.
Yes. Crime actually escalated, doubled overnight.
Well, yeah.
Social problems became even more.
A criminal.
Yeah, it became a criminal organization that profited from it.
But before the amendment was enacted, there were counties like you guys are talking about all over the country that enacted their own prohibition and became dry counties, and that's where the movement started, and then it was led by, I don't, what is this word? pietistic Protestants. Those Protestants, man.
Oh, pious. Yeah.
So what is it? They
church
believe in
religion.
Piety? Is that what they're devotees to? From the word piety was an influential movement in Lutheranism that combined an emphasis on biblical doctrine with the Reformed emphasis on individual piety and living a vigorous Christian life. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's where that's going to get you. Going to clean out the liquor cabinet. Wow. Pretty amazing. Led by dry crusaders, the movement was led by pietist Protestants and social progressives in the Prohibition Democrats in both Democratic and Republican parties. Pretty amazing, though, when you think about it. That was in the 20th century. The whole country goes dry. What the hell? All right. So, yeah, the Second Amendment, Mike, come on, that's a joke. That guy's 97 years old.
Yeah, but he's on a platform right now.
Do you think he even wrote that?
Yeah, I think he did.
I think it's like
and I think the
niece did and said, hey, Grandpa, will you sign this birthday card? And he was like, okay, where do I put my name? Oh, right here. Yeah, Grandpa, right there. Okay, you're so cute. Thanks, Grandpa. Love you.
Who appointed him as a Supreme Court judge when he was one?
He's a conservative.
You know that?
Yeah.
Stevens?
Yeah. Who appointed Stevens?
I don't know. Was it Reagan?
It had to be a long time ago.
Well,
it's probably about the time frame.
Justice Stevens. Let's see. Gerald Ford. So appointed by a Republican. Northwestern University, University of Pritzker School of Law at Northwestern. John Paul Stevens, third longest serving United States Supreme Court justice by time in office, 2,611 days. And let's see. Yeah, but he most famous for a recent quote. But come on, if anybody who knows anything about the amendment process, he served from 1975 to 2010. So 35 years on the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Exactly. But come on. Anybody, and again, it's just the misguided bullshit of this, of the people that would swing the Democratic Party further to the left. And, I mean, anybody who's serious about gun control, if you've heard them talk in the last 2 days, said, yeah, this is not helpful because all they've done is energized, you know, the Second Amendment advocates and followers. And it's not helpful. It's not helpful to us, let alone it's unrealistic. So I'm not.
That's going to fire some people up.
Oh, my God.
Who normally would just remain silent. You know, they start hearing that, then now they're going to get activated. So.
Yeah, the ghost of Charlton Heston. Out of my cold, dead hand. Oh, my God, really? Stop it. So, yeah, he's like, how old was Charlton Heston when he did that? Like 80-something?
Yeah, he was president of the NRA until then.
I think that once you turn 80, you can't be on TV anymore, you can't be in the media, you're not all together anymore, you know?
Wait, we're talking about that, our other Justice Ginsburg, she's 85.
I know, does she know her own name? Come on, it's ridiculous. You know, and what's her face? Dianne Feinstein running for Senate again, another six-year term at the age of 84? Come on, at some point, give it up. That's why we need to, like, cap it. Sorry, Grandma, you got to go. I mean, come on, we've all been around people that get
old. 65.
It's...
Lawyers can't practice in the firm after 65.
Pilot?
Why? Because they don't have the mental sharpness. Yeah. You don't want a pilot flying your plane at past 65.
And our pilot today is Grant Musselman. He'll be piloting this Boeing 747. What? 747?
And it's his birthday. He's 88.
Where is the Lockheed Electra 191? Yeah, that was 30 years ago, Grandpa. You go, we upgraded. Oh.
All right, let's do this.
Good God, everybody start praying. Yeah, but we'll let them make public policy. No problem. And so, yeah, hopefully, like the 84-year-olds, and there's like, Mike, we counted them one day. What is it? Isn't there like more than 10 in the Senate?
Oh, yeah. Over 80?
Over 80. And it came, yeah. I'll tell you how.
Go enjoy retirement. Go spend time with your great-great-grandchildren.
Great-great-great-grandchildren. If you can remember their names. Who's that? Oh, that's Larry's kid, Elmer. How old is he? He's 22. You've met him before, about a dozen or so times.
Yeah.
Geez, he's an ugly kid, isn't he? Hey, easy with the ugly comments. No, there was an article that appeared. The guy who supplies, owns the drugstore that has a contract for supplying Congress, got interviewed. And he said, yeah, it is kind of sobering when you're prescribing, and they deliver the drugs too. So you get them delivered right to your office. You're describing, you're prescribing, you're filling prescriptions for people that have Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. I mean, they're pretty powerful drugs, and they're making public policy. You're like, Alzheimer's? Like, I think if you have Alzheimer's, shouldn't you resign?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I guess there's no medical screening. They don't got to do an annual physical or anything like that.
No. I mean, remember Strom Thurmond? They'd wheel him in on a gurney with a string on his finger.
That was the guy I was thinking of. I was trying to remember his name.
How do you vote, Strom? Raise your hand. Like, that was cool.
It seems like blurred out ludicrous shit.
Yeah. No, this is Congress. It's not a KKK meeting, Strom. Oh, I get confused these days. Right? I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, but, you know, you don't want to give that seat up. And that came out of his cold, dead man, too. What the hell? All right, so another question. Mac, you got two gun guys on. Here's a question for them. If they could only have one automatic weapon, what would it be?
Ooh, automatic?
Automatic weapon. Never had this discussion before. Okay, Mike, you can't answer yet.
Yeah, I think we have. We talked about
not automatic weapon. Not automatic weapons. So
automatic weapon?
Oh, automatic. Automatic weapons. What's your favorite automatic weapon there, Montana man?
That would be the Mark 19.
Really, why?
Well, shit. I mean, what was it? You just shoot it.
Well, why not?
How to explain it.
No, you got to explain why it's your favorite.
It's an automatic grenade launcher, and I forget the range on it, Gunner. What is it? But a couple clicks?
Yeah, I mean, you're throwing a grenade out basically over a mile.
And you're telling me that's...
Yeah, and then when it impacts, it's boof, 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 boof.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit.
Could you imagine hunting a herd? You could hunt a herd of elk with a Mark 19.
Your day would be over pretty quick.
Yeah, and they would field dress them as it hit them.
You sound like you got a business going there, Mike. Okay.
That would be great. Mine would be the Gal 5, man.
Talk to us about the Gal 5.
Or the Gal, it's the Gal 19, actually, now.
Tell us about it.
That's the Gatling gun, 6-barrel, 50 cal Gatling gun. 2,000 rounds a minute.
Ooh.
And it looks like a laser beam hitting the ground.
And it's on. And it's on what platforms have the Gal?
Yeah, aircraft. Aircraft mostly.
Does the AC-130
at 100?
What's the machine gun on the AR?
Yeah, that sounds like light. Looks like a laser.
That's the Gal. Is that the Gal 8? That's the 25-millimeter Gal.
That's holy shit, man. Oh, man, if you've ever heard that.
Yeah, take that back. I want one of those.
That. Yeah. And those things used to go Winchester over Fallujah. For everybody who doesn't Winchester means we're out of bullets.
What's the rate of fire on those things?
A lot.
Yeah, what is the rate of fire?
Unload a friggin' C-130 full of ammo in a heartbeat.
The LEVAD variant had that too.
Oh, you know what? I took that weapon out.
The Gau 12, that's what it is.
Five-barrel,
25-millimeter Gatling gun.
Yeah.
4,200 rounds a minute. Now we're talking. Yeah. You know what?
How many is that a second?
Oh, my God.
4,200 rounds.
Hey, you guys have heard me talk about that helicopter crash when I was a company commander. That whole exercise, I had organized this exercise, and then LAV test director called me and said, hey, could we put our air defense variant in with you so we can test it for durability, and then we'd also like to shoot it a few times. I said, sure, as long as you, this would have criminal I was, as long as you pay for my gas and my spare parts and I get to shoot some of your ammunition. And they were like, no problem. I was like, damn, this is good. So after we did the helo crash thing, we then did the exercise. So we're on the firing line, and this thing would shoot, and it would, all these pink glowing things look like bumblebees would go downrange, and then they would jump on the target and then just annihilate it. And we'd be sitting there going, damn, that will ruin your day, man. It was pretty impressive.
Ooh.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
At 70 rounds a second.
But seriously.
You want to go up a little bit more?
Yeah.
Get the 7-barrel Gau 8, which is the 30-millimeter that's used in the nose of the Warthog.
Oh, the A-10. Yeah, the Air Force has been trying to kill that forever.
The Gau 8 shoots long-neck beer bottles. That's how big those shells are. It's 70 beer bottles a second.
Without the glass. Titanium, right?
Depleted uranium.
Yeah. You were just, say goodbye, boys. That A-10 rolls in on you. Like, you run, Forrest, run, because that shit is not going to turn out well. Yeah, that thing, they've been trying to kill that thing for 20 years, and it's still in the inventory. God bless them, too, because that thing's bad news. But I'll tell you what, you'd read the target list and what, you know, what Spooky 4-1 did over Fallujah last night, you know, and that thing, you'd hear that thing up there, just the noise.
We'd never hear the noise. I never heard the noise.
You never heard the noise? You could hear the noise. In fact, we had an intel guy. They were, you know, we'd take detainees and we'd take some guys trying to make them talk. We'd take them to the quote-unquote hotel where they live nice and they ate better food and trying to get them to give us information. And I remember one of our intel guys in 2006 in Fallujah, they had one of these guys at the hotel, and I can't remember who it was, Slayer or somebody. No, he was with 2-1 in 2004, and he's telling this story that they're interviewing him, this guy, at the hotel, and Slayer, because they all have these cool call signs, Spectre, Slayer, and he checks on station, and you could hear him, and he said the guy heard him, and the guy looks at him and says, that's the ghost, and they're like, what do you mean? And they're like, we know the ghost. I'm like, what do you know about the ghost? And he said, if you're running and then you stop, the ghost can't see you anymore. Like, oh, really? And so you know how you'd see videos of them running and you'd see some guys stop? Yeah, that's why.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why, because they thought that they thought that they were...
Gau 8 is 19 feet long. Jesus.
Good God, man. That is a good weapon. What they did, what RCT-1 did around Fallujah was they would stage these ruses, these fake attacks at night, and you'd see the guys come, you know, the bad guys come running to their positions, and Slayer would be up overhead and just, oh my God, just annihilate them.
The only call signs the call signs that I talked to of the ACs were Basher.
Basher.
Basher 2-2. Basher 2-7.
Mike, describe what it looks like, though, when they shoot that thing.
Well, like I said, there's no sound. You can't hear the airplane. And when you call them in, and it's at night, it's just pure darkness. And then all of a sudden, you see, out of the sky, these bolts of light come streaming out of the aircraft and then strike the ground. And then the noise catches up to you. So you see these light bolts go racing to the ground. And just then, you hear this huge, giant zipper. And then devastation.
It is one of the best pieces.
One in five tracers? Two?
Yeah, everything's 40 millimeter, the 105, everything's a tracer. And the 25, every round is a tracer. So it's like a continuous laser beam of light hitting the ground.
It's 70 rounds a second. Beam.
It's 70 rounds a second. The bullets are literally inches behind each other.
It's sick.
I mean, it's like follow the leader.
It is.
Okay.
It is, and I'm going Winchester. Right, and they would do it on a routine basis. And the most incredible, the most incredible piece of it was all the media guys had gone down to Najaf to cover. 1-4 was down there with John Mayer, and they'd come off a Mew, and they had Muqtada al-Sadr's guys surrounded in a mosque. And so all the media went down there. So there's nobody around Fallujah, and RCT-1 is just laying the wood to Fallujah. And it's not in the media. It's not in anything. And the AC-130s, man, those things. So,
oh, yeah. We caught a bunch of guys in the Euphrates River. They were leaving the Jolan district, and they were trying to get to Hospital Point. And they swam across the river, about a dozen insurgents, in the middle of the night. That there's the reeds down there by the water.
Right.
They jumped in the water. They started swimming across the river. The FAC called in and talked to Basher. Basher saw him in the water at thermals and fired the 25 millimeter and the 40 into the water. Oh, it was like, oh, God.
Just an eruption.
Just
that's the river that you went. That's the river when you went up with your seal buddy.
No, well, up further.
Up further
than that. But yeah,
all right.
Yeah, when that water got hit by that amp, it was just like, oh my goodness.
Here's an email.
You can't dive down. You can't dive deep enough to get away from that stuff either.
No. Here's an email. Mac, I've always had a question about the AC-130. How the hell do they fly that thing with a 105 going off inside the fuselage?
It's got a big recoil pad on it, or sled.
Yeah, it's got a big hydro system, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not hydraulic. It's not your typical 105. It's not the one that you see on the... on an artillery piece either. It's 105 millimeters, but it's definitely not the, doesn't look anything like it.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you go online, go on YouTube and just type in AC-130 and start watching videos. And it is an incredible weapon. In fact, yesterday, during that Mayaguez thing, the Koteng Island thing, Dan Hoffman said that when that OB-10 checked on and there was two AC-130s on station, that's what began to turn the whole event so that they could get the hell out of there.
Well, they didn't have AC-130s. They had C-47 gunships. They were the early versions. I forget the name of them.
Toll calls them in his paper. He calls them AC-130s. So maybe Toll's wrong, but it was. But you're right. Probably the I don't know.
Yeah, I think they were the early versions.
Of the AC-130, but he said that thing checked on station and things got right pretty quick in terms of their ability to at least consolidate their positions, figure what was going on. But the OB-10 Bronco, man, that was a good piece of gear. You know, guys that could stay on station for a long time in a permissive environment, mark targets, communicate with guys on the ground via VHF.
So well, they used to put grunts in those things as aerial observers.
Right, spotters. Yeah, they had the... They had those wings. What'd they say? There was some kind of...
AO on them.
AO, there you go.
Bob Brueggemann.
Bob Brueggemann. I was thinking of the same thing, too. Booger.
The AC-47 Spooky was in Vietnam.
Got it. And what, Mike, what was its armaments? It had a 105, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it had a...
That's amazing.
They had three miniguns out the window. This thing's badass looking, man. Ugh.
Yeah. And nobody.
And then Puff the Magic Dragon came out in the latter parts of. That was a C-130, but it came out in the latter parts of Vietnam.
And is that kind of the grandfather of what we know today, Puff the Magic Dragon?
Yeah, of the AC-130. The AC-130 came out in the 80s. But Puff the Magic Dragon was one of the first. It was the first C-130C cargo variants that carried all the guns.
Wow.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
That, I'll tell you what, whoever invented that, who's ever idea, could you imagine sitting in that meeting? Hey, and why don't we put a 105 on this thing? What?
And then three miniguns. Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah, and the two 40mm Bofors, cannons that were used in World War II to shoot down planes. We're going to shoot them at the ground.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, that thing's not going to get off the air, okay? And where do you store all the ammunition? Where do you store all the 105? I mean, that thing must just be like, wow. It is. It's amazing. Another email. Honestly, Mac, this is the most incredible hour. You guys go from talking food to talking about what an ass clown Mac is for inciting friends to get after each other. Then you go to guns. Now you're on the AC-130. All very entertaining. Well done. I think I'm starting to like the term ass clown too. I don't see it as
not another one.
I don't see it as a derogatory phrase anymore like I used to.
Well, it can be used both ways.
Yeah. It depends who
you're
talking
about. When I'm referring to you guys as ass clowns, it's more of a term of affection. When I'm referring to politicians as ass clowns, that is the derogatory.
Yeah, it's a versatile term.
It's like the word to. Like when you say down here, bless her heart.
Yeah, that could be derogatory.
Yeah, like bless her heart. Oh, bless her heart. Like, you retard.
You retard. All right, so what's going on? It's snowing in Montana. Is it still snowing?
No, it quit.
Is it so?
Just enough to piss you off.
Give us an update on the calf. Is the calf okay?
Yeah, all reports are. Calves are looking good. Three new ones this morning. Then we had one that we were trying to bottle feed yesterday afternoon, but I think he's on his feet and back on mom, so everything looks good.
All right. Mike, what do you got going on today?
Well, there goes the veal package.
That's right.
Yeah. What do they call a calf that doesn't nurse well? Veal.
Easy there. What do you got going
Feels
on today,
good.
Mike? What do you got going on today?
I'm just going to finish up my class for Saturday. Go through it, make sure everything's fine, and then that's about it. My garage is clean. You know what? I got the Corsair out, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, damn. We must be making progress. Have you PT'd yet? You don't PT.
Yeah.
You don't. Why aren't you PTing, man?
I will.
All right. Montana man, are you PTing?
Actually, not recently. Since calving season started.
With all the bourbon you drink, you better start PTing, man.
I can't drink bourbon. I gave that up about 20 years ago.
All right. What about the beer?
Oh, I love the beer. You know that.
All right. Well, unless you want to wind up back in the... Both you jackasses want to be in a group room at the VA somewhere in Kansas, then I think you guys
need... Well, I mean, if you can count... I mean, I'm chasing calves and...
No, that doesn't count. No, none of that count. That doesn't count. You can't... That's like a woman saying, well, at the office, I go up the stairs four times, and that doesn't count. Come on.
No, it's like sprints.
I don't know.
When you're up there... You're jumping out of a side-by-side, and then you're sprinting after this freaking thing, snatch onto a 70 to 100-pound calf, lift it up, run back to the side-by-side, hold it down so you can tag it, castrate it.
That's work. That's work. It doesn't count. That's not PT.
Shit.
All right. Well, it makes me tired like PT.
All right. So you got a PT. Mike, what do you... So when you think of PT, what do you think you'll do?
Oh, I'll get back on the bike and go in the pool.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Colleen swam in her first swim meet yesterday. She'd never even been on a swim team in her life. And she swims like somebody from North Dakota, right, which is not very well. But, right, exactly. But so, but the demographics in Southern California are very different than when, you know, than when I think about it. Okay, you know, when we were kids, there were a lot of kids who were on swim teams and stuff like that, right? Not that way anymore. Much more Hispanic population. And the Hispanics, they don't join swim clubs because they can't afford them. And so Colleen, after like a week on swimming, the coach says she was on the beginner swim team, which meant you're never going to beat a meet. You're just going to learn how to swim. The coach says, hey, I want you to swim as part of the relay. She's like, what? So, awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I met an Artie Marine yesterday at the swim meet. So it was good stuff. And let me tell you, that's why you should push your kids. Hey, just go try it. Well, they want me to go try it. Go try it. See what happened. She was all fired up, right? She still can't swim very well, but she's fired up about it. What the hell? So anyway, but all right, boys. Look, it was fun talking food with you guys today. Thanks.
All right. We'll talk to you guys there.
All right. See you, Mike.
All right. We'll
keep the texting down tonight.
No, it's opening night.
I know it is.
Right?
I know.
So
I know.
You know what's going to happen. Chris Sale's going to get rocked, so I'm going to have to say something about that. All right? And, from the AP, Russia said it will expel the same number of diplomats from the U.S. and other nations that expelled Russian diplomats.
Yeah, okay.
We're all pretty upset that we got to come home from Russia. Sorry. So,
yeah.
That's your boy Vladimir.
Yeah, I know.
Spring.
And then the crazy haircut boy in North Korea met with the Chinese leader for the first time ever, and another foreign leader.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. That's got kind of interesting.
World's getting shook up.
Yeah, because evidently President Xi called Trump and said, hey, he's serious about it. So we'll see what serious looks like. But like he and the president of South Korea are supposed to meet April 27th. And talk about
that. Yeah,
so we'll see. I mean, let me tell you, if that happens, then there is hope. There's a lot of problems in the world, but if that could be done, holy shit, man, that would be awesome. So,
All right, man.
All right, man. I'll talk to you.
Okay. Bye.
There you have it. The one and only, our man from Texas, Michael Musselman. Email. Mac, do you realize you're 20 minutes over? Yeah, but who cares? Come on, honestly. Talking with your crew about interesting things like Puff the Magic Dragon? Yeah, honestly, if you do a search on that, and then you click on videos, it's ungodly. And there's just a ton of them. You could spend the rest of your life watching AC-130 videos.
I'll tell a story. In early 1972, I was in the leather plans shop of headquarters USAF.
Hold on.
In Saigon, Vietnam. Our office was just down the hall from the AC-130 gunship office. And I became involved in a very interesting test of their gunship weapons. Each day, I would brief our general on what the fighters had done during the day and what our plans were for the following day. I would be followed by the gunships, who would tell what their plans were and what their results were. The gunships reported very large numbers of trucks killed, and they had low-light video to prove it. However, as the weeks went on, it became apparent that they were killing more trucks than North Vietnam had. The general questioned it. He questioned how they could be killing so many trucks, but there were always more trucks. Even though the gunships had video of the trucks being destroyed, something was wrong. They could not be killing as many trucks as they said. The gunships had 20mm Gatling guns and 40mm cannons to shoot at the trucks. They figured if they got a good burst of 20mm Vulcan cannon fire onto the trucks, or one 40mm cannon shell, they had the truck destroyed and moved on to the next truck. The general was suspicious that the trucks were not being destroyed, and he decreed that we would have a test on our own gun range in South Vietnam. We drove 7 U.S. Army trucks out onto the gun range. 4 of them had no cargo, and 3 of them had drums of gasoline in the back. All trucks had a half a tank of fuel, and we had them all with their engines running. The gunship's standard tactic was to fly a left-hand orbit around their target. They would fly at about 10,000 feet, firing down on their target as they went around. For them, the target was always outside their left window and almost effectively was not moving. They could be quite accurate. However, the distance was great. They had about a 12,000-foot slant range. This range turned out to be critical. The gunship fired 20mm Gatling gun at the first 2 trucks, getting multiple hits, then moved on with 40mm to the remaining 2 empty trucks, getting one 40mm hit on each truck. They then moved to the remaining 3 trucks, which had fuel loaded on them, fired on them, and those caught fire. The 20mm cannon fire had broken all the windows and flattened the tires on the first two trucks, but they had not penetrated the hood. There were just dents around the truck. The engines were still running. We changed the tires and drove the trucks off. The next 2 trucks had been hit by 40mm cannon shells, 1 shell per truck, because one 40mm was supposed to destroy the truck. On one truck, the shell had hit the wooden handrail that the soldiers hang on to while they're riding. The shell exploded in the air and did very little damage. On the second one, the 40mm shell hit in the bed of the truck, made a hole in the bed, the shrapnel went down and flattened all the tires. We changed the tires and drove both trucks away. We had discovered that the 20mm shells lost their velocity being fired from 12,000 feet away and would not even penetrate the hood or body of the truck. And we also discovered that the 40mm shells were not as effective as we thought. The general changed the rules. From then on, if the truck was hit but did not catch fire, it was only damaged. We could only call it destroyed if it burned.
Interesting. The physics of death from the AC-130 and how it got proved. There you go. I'll tell you what, though. If you, I don't know why I let that play as long as I did. I probably shouldn't have. But I found it interesting. Just Google AC-30 gunship. That'll do it. My thanks today to a whole cast of characters. One is James Ferguson, former captain, United States Marine Corps, artilleryman, platoon commander up at the Kajaki Dam, and they did a little bit of fighting up there. So my thanks for him to come for coming on. His organization is called Warrior Reunion Foundation. You can use them if you're planning a reunion. It will cost you nothing, and they will add infinitely to the experience. All right? Because there should be more that's going on than simply drinking and getting together. Okay, you want to use it as an opportunity to reach out and plug back into people and do some things. So I would encourage you, by all means, just go ahead and do a search on it. All right, Warrior Reunion Foundation. All right, and if you want to go to the website, it's all spelled out. One word, warriorreunionfoundation.org. His name is James Ferguson. So my thanks to Ferg for coming on, and then Montana Man and the Gunner for coming on and talking food, talking guns, and current events. Prohibition, the Second Amendment. Prohibition is actually kind of interesting to read about. How could the country tilt towards prohibition? It's incredible, yes? I agree. All right. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow on a Thursday. All Marine Radio. Over and out.